T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Frank Isola, who joins us now. You didn't come down, Frank?
Frank doesn't play golf. You play golf, Frank, at all?
As you guys know, the NBA entire community is in New York this week. You got all the big draft picks here. You have the Lauri Markkanen in New York. And where are you guys? In Cromwell, Connecticut, talking golf. Oh, my God.
Well, actually, we're in Cromwell, Connecticut, talking basketball. We're mostly hoops today.
Basically.
There's nothing quite like golf talk on radio. It's a
We haven't even mentioned. I mentioned 5 seconds about the field here. That's it. That's about the end. And my wife chasing Jason Day around. That's true.
My favorite of the remotes that sometimes don't fully make sense is when we were at Giant Camp on July 31st of the baseball trade deadline.
You're right.
And the Mets got Yoenis Cespedes as we were talking, like Victor Cruz or something.
No offense, you guys do a great job. Those shows are terrible. They just are. The players don't say anything.
What do you mean? The shows at the camps?
Yeah.
You know what it is? I'll give you this answer. I think like 8 out of 10 you're right about, but I think there's occasionally guys who are pretty good interviews and they're honest. And
Are you going to get Odell Beckham on?
Are we going to get Odell Beckham on?
We're not big enough to get Beckham
Probably
on. You
know
the deal, Frank. Come on. We don't get Beckham. We don't get Eli. We're not getting those guys. They don't come on with us. They go on with the shows.
You guys should stay in New York, talk baseball trade deadline.
Frank, they go on with the people that matter. Come on, you know that.
Though I will guess, I don't think Odell's going out with Mike based on the things Mike has said about him. So I doubt that. So I'd guess Boomer and Carton will get Odell Beckham if I had to make a guess right now.
Can I say this, too? I think the OTA things will sometimes be overrated, but I do agree with Mike about Odell Beckham. Like, you want to be the big star. Just show up for the thing. There's 16 games in a season. You made it down to Florida after the last game against the Redskins. Can you show up for the organized team activities, as they call it?
It doesn't mean anything, but the visual is very bad. So I kind of agree with you. Will the New York Knicks trade Kristaps Porzingis?
I don't think so. I mean, first of all, they're asking for a lot, which they should.
Of course.
And I don't know. Is Phil Jackson really going to pull the trigger on something like that? I did run into the kid Lauri Markkanen of Finland, who said he had a nice dinner with Phil on Monday. He did not work out for the team. But really, the only reason that he agreed to even meet with them is, you know, if there's a possibility that they could draft him. So the Knicks are keeping all their options open, and obviously one of those options would be trading Kristaps Porzingis, which I still find hard to believe. I mean, you're trying to build a team. He's still only 21 years old. As of right now, he's more of a sure thing than anybody in the draft. So it would make absolutely no sense to move him, but crazier things have happened. A lot of people think, there's been a lot of theories out there, that the Knicks are considering it just, you know, to kind of save face a little bit, where Phil could say, well, you know what, we're really rebuilding this time. We got rid of Carmelo. We got rid of Kristaps Porzingis. We have all these young picks, and now we're rebuilding.
But how do you save face by – this is the one move he's made so far since he's been here, as you know, Frank. That's been a good move, and that's saving face by getting rid of the guy? I mean, I don't get that.
Yeah, I agree. And I would also say this. I think this has a lot to do with what happened with the kid missing the meeting at the end of the year, which he shouldn't have done. That was stupid to do. But come on, they fired the one coach that Porzingis really liked, the kid Josh Longstaff, and now you have this situation where they're floating out his name in trade scenarios.
So do you think that they're just trying to humble him then? Like, they're not really going to trade him, but they think that doing this humbles him in a way?
Maybe. I think there could be a little bit to that. You know, they could say, hey, you decided to do what you did. Well, guess what? This is how the business works. We're still the boss. We still have you under contract for a while, and you don't want to do things right by us. Well, this is how we can deal with it then. Maybe we could talk to the teams, potentially trade you. They both made a mistake. Kristaps should have shown up. When your boss calls you into work, I mean, for a meeting, you have to show up. But I think the Knicks also should have tried to extend an olive branch, because he does mean a lot to the franchise. And to have no communication with him, to not have somebody working with him. So there are teams around the NBA whose star players right now are working out in the gyms with coaches, which I guess they're not really allowed to do. But, you know, that's how organizations are connected. That's how you build a culture. You can't tell me the Knicks are building a culture with their best player spending the entire summer in Latvia without any contact from anybody in the organization.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. Talking to Frank Isola, of course, to the Daily News. All right, Frank, let's assume that there's no trade of Porzingis, there's no nothing, and the Knicks have the eighth pick in the draft, and that's the way it's going to go down tomorrow night. Well, who do you see them taking?
I think it's going to be the French kid, the point guard. I know they've been all over him for
right,
a while.
Right.
It could come down to between him and Dennis Smith Jr. The only thing is, Evan's buddy, Brian Scalabrine, actually worked out with Dennis Smith up in Boston, and he said the guy is a phenomenal pick-and-roll player. Phenomenal. But the Knicks don't run that kind of offense. So he really wouldn't fit in there that well, but he's a big, strong kid. But the Knicks seem to favor. If you look at Phil Jackson over the years, you know, some of his, a lot of his great teams when he had Ron Harper or whether or not it was Brian Shaw, he likes big guards. And, you know, this kid could play in the triangle system, and I think the Knicks have been all over him for a while. I think that's going to be the pick.
What is the kind of deal? Because we've talked about this on air, floating on all the different, you know, made-up possibilities of a Porzingis trade. And Joe has said, look, I give him to Boston, but I want number three. I want the net pick next year. I want another pick. Realistically, I could see why Danny Ainge would want Kristaps Porzingis. I'd almost prefer to make a deal after him, for him, than even a guy like Jimmy Butler or Paul George. With that said, what would Danny Ainge give up in your mind? What do you? How far would he go to trade for Porzingis?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because I still think that the Celtics feel they're still a couple of years away. You know, it's funny, the Boston Celtics, and they've done a great job, but especially, you know, working with my boy Scalabrine, who, you know, is a Celtic guy through and through, and, you know, he talks about them up there like they're splitting the atom. You know, they hire all these great, like, analytics guys, and they crunch the numbers, and the big thing they came back with was, all right, here's how it is. The only way we're going to win, we got to wait for LeBron to get old or to leave the Eastern Conference. And let's face it, LeBron still might be going good at 45 with the way that he plays. So I think that they look at themselves as being a couple of years away, but I think Porzingis fits into that plan. But if they wanted Porzingis and the Knicks were thinking about moving him, why didn't the Knicks think about talking to Boston, or maybe they did, before Boston traded the number one overall pick? That would be the pick to get if you're the Knicks. Now, having the third pick isn't bad, and apparently the Knicks do like Josh Jackson. But I heard that Danny Ainge does not want to give up that third pick. You know, they do have other picks down the road that they could potentially trade. I think if I was Boston, you're waiting for a star player. We know that the Celtics, their pie-in-the-sky dream is to get Anthony Davis somehow. And that's why they're collecting all these assets. I'm not telling you that Kristaps Porzingis is in the same ballpark as Anthony Davis, but he is 21. He's a freak. He's 7'3". If you can get a guy like that, you know, that could be that transformative star that they're looking for.
I'll tell you right now, and I've said this before, Frank, if you're going to trade Porzingis to the Celtics, of course, the kings of fleecing everybody, going back to the Red Auerbach days, and obviously Ainge did it to the Nets as well. If you're going to do that, then I got to have said this before. Here's what I want. I want their third pick, and I want the two number ones they got next year from the Nets and the Laker pick. That's it. That's what I want.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, you know, Phil Jackson, he's kind of old school, and he's, you know, Mr. New York Knick and Red Holtzman against Red Auerbach. I don't see Phil Jackson dealing with the Boston Celtics. I just don't see it. I think he looks at the Celtics as his main rival, even from his days with the Lakers, because he obviously
stayed in the finals a couple of times.
I just don't see Phil Jackson thinking, yeah, let me talk to Danny Ainge and we'll try to work out some trade. Even if you think it might be the best trade for the Knicks, I just think that Phil Jackson, you know, despite a lot of things that have happened, I still think he bleeds orange and blue. And I think for him, dealing anything with the Boston Celtics, I think he'd look at it as blasphemy.
Yeah.
Interesting. Talking to Frank Isola, the NBA draft tomorrow night. We saw a couple of trades yesterday. Brooke Lopez and Dwight Howard traded on the same day, not for each other. Your thoughts on the Nets-Laker deals? First, from the Nets side of things, obviously they're not going to win anything for at least probably 6 to 10 years would be my that's my range for them, Frank.
Six to ten.
Probably 6 to 60, to be fair. What'd you think about the deal trading Brooke to L.A.?
I liked it for the Brooklyn Nets, obviously. First, you know, 2 years ago, D'Angelo Russell was drafted number 2 overall in the draft. And I understand his first year, he acted like a knucklehead. The thing that he did by videotaping Nick Young, that was stupid. He's immature. But he started to develop into a pretty good player last year. So with Brooke Lopez, you know, who really didn't fit in there, obviously, anymore, and with the 27th pick, you got back D'Angelo Russell, who could be your point guard for the next 10 to 15 years. I understand Timothy Mozgov has a terrible contract, but Mozgov is not an awful player. He did well for the Knicks. He did well with Denver. He was a starting center on the Cleveland Cavaliers when they made the finals. I get it. His contract is ridiculous, but he's not a scrub. So I think the way that when everybody talks about him, I guess it's because he's some big Russian guy with a big contract, so we have to ridicule him all the time. I don't think he's bad. But in terms of D'Angelo Russell, if you look at Kenny Atkinson's career as an assistant coach with Houston, assistant coach with the Knicks, assistant coach in Atlanta, and now as a head coach of Brooklyn, he's very good in player development. He does very well working with point guards, whether it's Jeff Teague, Dennis Schroeder, Jeremy Lin. I believe he had Kyle Lowry in Houston as well. So I think for D'Angelo Russell, he's going into a great situation. He's still in the big market. He doesn't have the pressure now with Magic Johnson and Lonzo Ball coming in. I think for him, it's a great situation for the Nets. I think it's a great trade. 2 years ago, the guy was the number 2 pick. You got for Brook Lopez, if you didn't want anymore, obviously you're going to move on from him. And the 27th pick, which, face it, at that point, you're just gambling, hoping that you can get a serviceable player that maybe can contribute. Mm.
Carmelo, is he a Nick next year in your mind or not, Frank?
It's weird. Carmelo has been laying really low, and he's been keeping a low profile. You hear different things, or a lot of people have said, like, he's resigned to the fact that maybe it's time for him to move on. The Clippers could be a possibility. There's been some talk about J.J. Redick and a sign and trade. To me, why would you do that? They're around the same age, and why would you want to lock up J.J. Redick long term? So then you'd be taking on a player of the same age, adding contract, and he's not better than the player that you were trading. I don't think that makes any sense. I'm sure Carmelo would like to hook up with Chris Paul if Chris Paul stays in L.A. I'm sure in a perfect world, Carmelo would love to get some kind of buyout from the Knicks, become a free agent, go to the team of his choice, and I think that team for 1 year would be the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then when LeBron becomes a free agent next year, maybe the two of them, head out west and they go play for either the Lakers or the Clippers. I think that's a possibility. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a 90% possibility that it would happen, but I think at this stage of the game for Carmelo, hasn't made the playoffs for 4 years. If you're going to go somewhere, you have to make sure you're in a pretty good position where you can contribute. And if you go play with LeBron, he makes all those players better. Yeah. And I don't think Carmelo wants to come off the bench, but come on. Look what Iguodala did. Finals MVP 2 years ago, had an unbelievable Game 5. You mean to tell me Carmelo, I understand defensively, he's not the same kind of player, but he's a much better offensive player. Playing with LeBron James, I think that would be a home run for the Cavaliers.
Speaking of LeBron, I thought this was a very underrated story. These players know everything. I think they're very clued in. And when the Chicago Sun-Times, the Chicago Tribune, reports that Jimmy Butler, or David Aldridge, I think, was the first to report this, Jimmy Butler has cooled on the idea of going to Cleveland because of the uncertainty with LeBron's future. Isn't that a sign that even the players kind of know that LeBron's going to leave after next year?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, that thing had been out there for a while, this idea that, he could eventually end up in L.A. with either the Lakers or the Clippers. That's why this summer, let's look to see what happens with Chris Paul. If Chris Paul stays in L.A. and he can get a lot more money to stay with the Clippers, then the Clippers would absolutely be in play. If he ends up going to San Antonio, which is a possibility because Gasol is going to take less money, they now have more cap space, then I think I could see LeBron ending up with the Lakers. But LeBron, it's amazing. The guy runs the league. Even in a year where he's not a free agent, his future kind of impacts everything. And, LeBron, he does it all except for the final 3 minutes against Golden State in Game 3 when he didn't do anything.
Frank, he was tired. He was very tired.
Well, like I said, Evan, did you see the video of LeBron over the weekend on Father's Day at his son's birthday playing basketball with them?
I did see that.
Football with them.
I know you mentioned that.
So what's wrong with that? You think he's tired from that?
They actually played. The last event they did was pin the tail on the donkey. He finished second, and the Cleveland media said the only reason that happened because he was tired by the end. I love the guy. I think he's by far the best player. I put him right up there with Michael Jordan. When you watch him in person, like, this guy, he's unstoppable. But if we paint him out to be superhuman, why is it when he falters, are everyone's excuses he's tired?
No, you know what, Frank? I'm going to disagree with you slightly because I think that it shouldn't be a default excuse. I think he deserves criticism when he deserves criticism. I thought that specific game he looked tired. I'm just being honest. I don't work in the Cleveland media. What?
Tired, Frank? You got to leave?
What?
Hang on.
What?
The guy in the finals, everyone talked about the 12-0 run when he was out of the game in the first quarter. Right. He was on the court at the end of the game for an 11-0 run. There were 3 timeouts called in those final 4 minutes. The timeouts for NBA Finals last about 5 minutes. How can you be tired? And here's the thing. He'd make a play, either close out on Kevin Durant, grab an offensive rebound. I'm not asking him to not pass the ball to Kyle Korver. Make a play. in the final 3 minutes. I'm telling you, the guy's great, but that was, to me, the turning point of the series. And to be he didn't do anything
And neither did Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving took a really dumb shot. Well, let's not forget that either.
Durant did something. Was he tired?
Well, hold on a second. Kevin Durant isn't, and as he was great during the finals, is not literally carrying his team to the point where if he's off the floor for 2 minutes, he gets outscored 12-0.
LeBron's off that team. They're a lottery team.
I'm not telling you they're not. All I'm saying is he was unbelievable that game, but the biggest moment of the series was the final 3 minutes, and he didn't come. All I know, I was at all those Michael Jordan games, every one of them, his last 3 years with the Bulls. Michael Jordan had bad games. I am telling you. Never once was the topic retired. We never said that about Michael
Jordan. But in fairness, we also never compared Michael Jordan to somebody else every game after every performance, which is what happens to LeBron. After every game, it's like, Michael does this, Michael does that.
We never mentioned Patrick Ewing was tired. We never mentioned John Stockton, Karl Malone,
you know what?
Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant. We never. This is a phenomenon over the last 5 years, how everybody suddenly is tired. How is it possible? If they have the best trainers now, everyone has a nutritionist, a masseuse, how the heck is everybody
You know what it is? The reason I think that is because here is a guy, and I don't think it was the same with these others, where this guy cannot get off the floor. If he does, his team gets outscored. You saw the plus-minuses. They were ridiculous.
So he's
he
not
couldn't take a break. He's not superhuman, man. He's an NBA player. Well, who cares how he paints himself?
Frank, you know, to me, the big difference between him and Jordan is? Here's a big difference. Jordan would never, ever sit out a game. Ever, ever, ever. I'm talking regular season games, Frank. He would play. As much as you know how I feel about Jordan with all this stuff he did to the Knicks. You know what? Well, he never missed a game ever.
And all the analytics guys, they came up with this thing where how important rest is. You need to go to Harvard to figure out that if you rest, it's better for you. We get it, but that's part of the deal. It's the war of attrition. How many games? They swept every darn series except for the conference finals. He played the almost minimum amount of games going into the NBA finals.
Yeah, Frank, we got to run, but always good talking to you.
Frank, all the love. We'll talk to you after the draft.
What? You know, I'm tired of this conversation.
Frank, you showing up for the big show at Grand Central tomorrow?
Of course, I don't get invited to anything.
I just invited you, so show
up. I'll be there.
All right.
10:25, all right?
There you go, Frank.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.